Hi guys, Oscar Gonzalez here from NotAGarage.com. Welcome to another episode of my podcast. Today I want to share with you something that happened over the weekend, which was a meetup for our .com lifestyle meetup. And we simply had a new series start out called .com Coffee, which is just several of us hanging out at a coffee shop, having a type of round table discussion about a particular topic. This happened to be Aweber, and the meeting went great, so I want to share that with you. Keep in mind that I recorded this at a coffee shop, so there's some background noise, and hopefully you can hear everybody, but there is a little bit of noise in the background and stuff, so after I read the little bit of my blog post, then I'll play the podcast in its entirety for you. Hopefully this is useful. There's three great tips. There's some Q&A in there. And really, really good information. A lot of people attended this, and my co-host, John Chow, was there as well, so he shared some of his own insights into how email marketing works for him and why we use Aweber. .com Lifestyle Meetup, Aweber Tips Coffee Chat. I recently hosted our first .com Coffee Meetup, part of the .com Lifestyle Group. Our topic of discussion was Aweber, and the meeting turned out great. I invite you to join us to the next meetup. Just go to meetup.com and find the .com Lifestyle Meetup group. Also, if you want to suggest a topic that's of interest to you, simply leave a message in the comments asking for a particular topic, and we will try to put it on the agenda so that you can learn a little bit. And we actually learn a lot as we go through these topics as well. This time we talked about email marketing and how Aweber helps you achieve great results. There are three main tips I covered, as well as some insights from John Chow. We also took a little bit of time to do Q&A and really enjoy the time hanging out and learning from each other. At the very last minute, we decided to fire up a Google Hangout on air, so the recording of that video is also included in the blog post. Paradise Perks, the coffee shop where we hosted, didn't have the best internet connection to stream the live hangout, so the video may be a little bit fuzzy, but you can listen to the whole thing in this podcast coming up. Pretty informal, and I'm recording it, so you guys know. Feel free to ask any questions you want. I didn't want to make this like a teaching session, but I'll tell you some of the things I've learned about Aweber, and it just so happens that John came, and I've learned most of from John, so... Why don't we go around the table really quick and introduce ourselves? And then I'll just kind of tell you a little bit about how to build your list if you haven't, and the three tips that I learned. We'll discuss them over the next hour or so. So why don't we start with you? Tell us who you are. And we're recording, so this should pick up your voice no matter what, but try to speak up a little bit.
Yeah, let's put it on the spot saying we're recording.
Yeah. So, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my name is Yasuko Kawamura. I'm a licensed massage therapist, and I'm also an author of You Need Me video ebooks. And I use Aweber to build a list, and they just increased the price because I hit certain numbers.
Nice.
Yeah. So which is nice, but I need to make money. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Marie Walker Riddle, and I'm new to blogging. I have a couple companies. One is an IT networking-based company, which I've had for 25 years, and I am part of the .com lifestyle group. And I'm relatively new to Aweber.
So, right.
I'm Mohammed. I'm doing blogging since 14. Starting internet marketing since 17, and just. Trying to meet new people that are doing the same thing as me.
Sure.
My name is Lionel Castro. I'm the creator of the Genius Trap. I'm a very experienced software developer engineer. I'm here because I want to tap in or learn more on marketing. That's where I'm lacking, so that's why I'm here.
All right.
My name is Liz Cruz, and I've been in the IT world for quite a while, but I'm new to the social media marketing and the online marketing, and I'm here to learn from and be a part of the group. I'm really excited.
All right.
Lastly, I'm John Chow. I guess I'll be the unofficial co-host.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm Oscar Gonzalez. You can find me at notagarage.com. And John and I run the .com lifestyle meetup, which you are listening to now. And
this is live going over the internet right now.
That's right. This is going over Google Hangouts on air.
We should send a tweet out.
Hey, check us out. Boy. Yeah.
What's the URL for it?
It's meetup.com/dot-com-lifestyle.
Yeah, but also, what's the URL for the Hangout right now?
Well, let's post it.
Let's post the Hangout. Hey, we might get some questions, you know, from the Hangout people.
Yeah, let's see. How do we do this?
Good question.
Good question.
I wonder if I just copy this, if it will work. I just posted on my Twitter a video from Affiliate Summit. Oh, great.
Great.
I'll wait for that.
That sounds like a garbage truck, in case you're wondering.
Yes.
Waste management. You know, wow.
That's a sponsor.
The sponsor today
Today's sponsor is Waste Management. Started by Wayne Hozanga. Now, if that name's not familiar, because Wayne Hozanga is a serial entrepreneur. He's the founder of Waste Management, as well as the founder of Blockbuster's video. And he's also the only, I guess, only person in Florida that owns three major league franchises. He owns the Florida Marlins, the Miami Dolphins, and one other sports team as well. A three major league sports team. And of course, Blockbuster's now gone under. But he left Blockbuster quite a while ago, and he actually sold Waste Management. And he bought it back, which he couldn't sold it for. So once again, he is now the CEO and founder of Waste Management. And you notice how garbage prices went up because of it.
He's a billionaire, right?
He's a billionaire. Yeah, he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Well, you pretty much need to be a billionaire. You want to own three major sports teams.
Yeah. So I was listening to Gary Vaynerchuk, and apparently you need to have half of the value of a team if you want to buy it. You have to have half of liquid. So do you guys know who Gary Vaynerchuk is?
Vaynerchuk.
He's like a social media guru guy. And one of his life goals is to buy the New York Jets, which currently would be about $2 billion. So he needs to get $1 billion
liquid
to be able to buy that. And I guess investors or somebody else will finance the rest. But that's a pretty big goal, getting $1 billion. Forget a million.
Yeah, you know, go for it. Was Tim Pickens who said, you know, it was on social media, you know, like Tim Pickens, the billionaire. And I believe one rapper posted on his tweet, he says, "The first million is always the toughest." You ever heard that saying? And I guess Tim followed him and he put down, the first million is easy, the first billion is tough.
Yeah.
So he kind of owned them. You know? He goes, oh man, I got
pulled. It's like that, what is it, the network, right? What's cooler than a million is 1 billion. What's the code of that?
Oh, the social network. A million bucks ain't cool. What's cool? $1 billion.
Yeah. I guess the first thing, as we've been kind of just chatting a little bit, is first thing is to get a list. So if you don't have AWeber, if you're new to internet marketing, we recommend AWeber for a lot of reasons. It's been around for a while, it's solid. It's kind of like the industry standard for internet marketing. And the price is really, really good. So you could start for $1 for the first month, and after that it's $19 a month. And as you grow your list, like Yasko just mentioned, your price will increase. There's three types of service payments. So you can pay per month, per quarter, or per year. And of course, per year is the biggest savings. But the thing that's cool about it is that not only can you use it for your own marketing, you can also refer people to it and they pay you a commission.
So most people are in internet marketing, and so they get commissions from affiliate products. So at the same time that they're using AWeber, they can make money from AWeber, which is pretty cool. I do that. John does that. From my total income on internet marketing, AWeber takes about maybe 20% of it. So, and I know John makes several thousand dollars a month from AWeber. So it's a good thing to look at. And ultimately, AWeber helps you build a list. That's the ultimate goal, is to build a list so that you can have a group of people that get to know you from what you post and from what you share, and you can promote products to them. That's the basic. And if you've never heard of it, of this, it's a little bit of cliche now, but the money's on the list. It doesn't matter what else you do, if you don't have a list of people that you can go to time after time after time, your business is stagnant. It takes you a lot of time to get a new person to come in and buy a product. So you want to get them to stick around and then buy more from you. It's a lot more expensive to get a new customer than to sell something to an existing customer. That's just... I used to work for Ingram Micro, big IT company, and they did a study where one of their customers would cost them about $8,500 to acquire. And so that's a cost for a new customer. Very expensive, but once you have them, to market to them was something like $200 a year, as opposed to $8,500 acquiring the customer. So you have to do everything in your power to keep those customers happy. And once they trust you enough to buy a product from you, they usually buy more products after that, as long as it's relevant to them. When they need that type of product or service, it's almost no question they'll buy from you. So the biggest question is, how do you get people onto your list? You know, that's the toughest part to do, and everybody struggles with it. So you have to try a lot of different things. The easiest way to do it is to offer them something for free, and it has to be something that's valuable and unique. A lot of people want to offer, well, sign up to my blog and you're going to get all my blog posts. Well, that's great, but your blog post may not be that great, or your blog is not that interesting yet, so people won't sign up. And I have that happen with most of my clients. They think that just because they blog, people want to read their blogs. That's not the case. We have very, very short attention span, and people have... It's every year, the reports show that the time spent on each item that comes across their screen is less and less. It used to be like you had like 15 seconds to capture somebody's attention. Now it's down to like 6 seconds. So if you think about how you look at Facebook or Twitter, you open your phone or your tablet and you just scroll through. So you have milliseconds to catch somebody's attention. So you have to come up with a what we call an ethical bribe, which means I have this for you for free. Click here to get it. And when they click on it, then you say, well, where do you want me to send it? And that's when you ask for their name and email. As you go through that, you'll notice that for every, let's say, 100 times that shows, a percentage of people will actually give you their name and email. And that could be anywhere from 1% to 40% or 50%. If you have more than, I would say, 20% on that, you're doing great. John sometimes gets 30, 40%. I've gotten 30% sometimes. So your goal is to get the highest percentage of people to sign up for that. So if you're offering something and people are clicking on it but not signing up, then you need to change. One is what you're giving away or how you're presenting it. Maybe you're not giving them enough incentive to sign up, or it's not appealing enough, or you haven't shown the value proposition. Like, why should I give you my name and email when I can find this on Google on one search? So that thing that you get for free, the more unique and the more specific to an industry, the better it is. So if I can type in one search in Google and find the same thing, I'm probably not going to sign up for it. But if I know that you are an expert and I'm having a hard time finding the answers to a problem, and I'm thinking that it's going to be in that book that you're giving me, or a video, or a podcast, then I might just give you the name and email address. And then, that's when you have to nurture that person to buy something. And there's a couple of different approaches. You have, for example, I mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk a little bit ago. He just came out with a book called Jab, 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 Right Hook. And that stands for basically give, 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 then ask. So don't ask for anything until you've given enough. Kind of, you put out a lot of stuff before you ask for something back. That's one approach. Another approach, which is more like, for example, what John does, is take your, from the very first email, and you establish yourself as an expert, you give some value on that email, and then you ask them to buy something, all in the first email. Say, this is who I am, this is why I'm an expert, here's some information for you so that you are better off the moment you finish reading. By the way, you should go buy this. Those are two approaches, and you should test both to see which one works best for you. And as you build your list, one of the things I'll give you as a tip is segmenting your list so that you can have really, really targeted messages to a group of people as opposed to an entire list. And that's also one of the two approaches that you can have. For example, John has a big list. He sends the same email to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And then other people send one message to, let's say, 500 people, and a slightly different message to another 500 people. And it's more work, but maybe they figure out that that's more effective for them. So you have to do all that testing. And AWeber helps you with a lot of that. So, any questions so far?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
What sets it apart, AWeber, by just collecting the emails and managing the emails? Is that the advantage of AWeber, the managing and the sending messages?
Yeah, well, AWeber does that all for you. It gives you a nice interface to manage all that. It gives you statistics, so it tells you if somebody opened the email, if they clicked on it, where they are physically in the world. So if you want to send a product that is maybe expensive or high-end, maybe at a price point where only what we call top-tier countries are able to afford it. Those are like the UK, Australia, US, you know, first world countries with disposable cash. Then you want to maybe target those people instead of everyone else, because they're more likely to buy a high-end product. And then if you have a lower-end product or one that appeals to everybody, then you send it to your entire list. But AWeber lets you, it gives you a lot of that information automatically, but you can also go in and add any field you want. For example, if you have 100 people on your list and you've sent them 10 messages, then you can say, okay, now I want to see the people that clicked on my email number 3 and put them into a separate segment. And then the rest of the people, put them into another segment. That way, if people that clicked on a link, they have an intent to learn more or buy that product that you put in the link. So then you can send them another message to encourage that purchase if they haven't. And the people that didn't click on it, then you can tweak your message to say, hey, I sent you this, but you haven't looked at it. Here's a coupon that is only for you. AWeber allows you to do that. A lot of other companies do as well, but the whole point of AWeber is...
There's a lot of garbage here.
Yeah. The whole point of AWeber is that you can do this online. It's on the cloud, so you don't have to send messages from your own account. It's more reliable than, let's say, sending them from Outlook or your own Gmail account. And mainly, they also provide all the tools you need to market on email. They give you forms, they give you links, they give you special tools to be able to create, let's say, a sign-up form that automatically gives them a thank you page where you can sell more stuff, or you can put a recording, like a video, say, thank you for signing up. By the way, here's more stuff that's interesting to you. All that kind of stuff. That's right. Mm-hmm. We're just hanging out. Do you have anything to add? Did you think so far?
On the subject of segmenting, basically, you don't need to really add additional fields or options, but there are, because they probably collect a whole bunch of data. Like they collect geo data, they collect examples of use of segmentation when you do a webinar. You know, because when you do a webinar, you're going to get three groups afterwards. You're going to people who register, but then didn't show up. People who register, but then left early. People who register, but didn't buy or showed up. And then people who register, showed up, and bought. Mm-hmm. So it's like four groups. And you can segment each of those groups. So, you know, people who register, showed up, and bought, they go on the customer list, segment of customer. People who showed up, register, but then left early, you can then send another email and say, here's a replay. In case, we know you left early because, we understand, you know, kids calling, whatever, it can happen. So you send them a separate email for that segment. And then people who registered but didn't show up, you can start another funnel for them saying that, hey, we noticed that you registered, but you didn't show up. We understand, you know, commitments, some things come up. So we're doing an encore. You show them, we're doing it again in 2 days. You can register for that one. And then for people who register, for people who just didn't register or didn't show up, or people who didn't register, you blast your whole list on the register, but there's some people who just didn't register at all, you would say that, well, here's a replay. So they see it anyway. Right, well, having to register. So that's one way of doing it. Another example of segmentation is when it's time to wish them, say, Happy Thanksgiving. Because, you know, Canada's Thanksgiving and the U.S. Thanksgiving falls on different days. So if you were to send out a Thanksgiving for U.S. holiday, the people in Canada is going to go, what the hell? And vice versa. So, and then other countries don't have Thanksgiving at all. Right? So if you can create a segment of all your U.S. readers, and it does by IP address, so just create a segment of all my U.S. readers, and then you blast them out Happy Thanksgiving Day on the U.S. holiday, and then create a segment for your Canadian readers, and then do it on the Canadian Thanksgiving Day.
And you could extend that to every country. You can have...
Pretty much.
Or, any country that has their own holidays. And even if there's nothing going on with us here, they may have a very special holiday that, you know... That gives
Rush
you,
Limbaugh Day or something like that.
Yeah. That gives you, credibility, trust, and that people tend to like you a little more because you at least, even though it's automated and still a little bit mechanical, they still feel like you put in a little more effort to tend to their interests, right?
Well, you're giving more relevant information that people actually will appreciate it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to send, like, let's say you're doing a live webinar in Vancouver. So it doesn't make any sense to send an email invite to people in Australia. Right? So you can create a segment of all the people who live in Vancouver and there's, well, say BC, one particular province. So you can do something here in Irvine, you probably want to segment out just Southern California. And you're able to generate a list of all your readers, all your subscribers that's in the Southern California area, and you can just set up an email just specific for them.
Do you guys have like a rule of thumb as far as the day or time you send out the emails within a waiver?
I don't, but John has some interesting statistics.
Depends on what you're after.
The most
open is one on Monday.
Oh, okay. Okay. Most open.
But most people tend to buy on a Thursday in the evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a build up. You send them a thing on Monday and say, hey, the shopping cart opens on Thursday. Like you said. So that's what you send them Monday to open it. But and then you tell them, the cart opens on Thursday. And then Tuesday, you send them a little reminder. And Wednesday, you build it up. And then you open the cart on Thursday.
Okay. So what about weekends? Do you avoid those or do you still send out?
It depends. Like I said, it really depends on the industry.
Okay.
For a dating site like Plenty of Fish, Marcus tells me that his busiest day is Saturdays and Sunday. Okay. Well, starting a Friday evening because they're looking for dates.
Right. Yeah. What's your busiest?
In our industry, it starts on Monday and it slowly, gradually fades down.
Okay.
The
and then you also told us before that most of the buys happen in the evening, right?
Yeah. Buy us up in the evening, usually right after dinner.
Right.
Because think about it, they may open their email at work or in the morning, and they'll come back to it in the afternoon when they're ready to, like, settle down and pull out their card and buy.
So how long do you guys spend on your email management? Because this is managing email, in a sense, your email and your list.
AWeber is not email management. AWeber is list management.
List management.
Okay,
yeah,
Gmail is your email management. But basically, you don't answer emails from your AWeber account.
Yeah, but I mean, your list or your email sequence must be huge.
Yes, it's like 24 emails.
That's it?
Yeah. No, but I keep adding. I keep tweaking it.
Okay, so you add and you take things out, or
do I monitor the open rate, the click, the response, the click, and I can see if I can increase it by either changing the tag. Adding a different photo,
okay.
He just keeps testing it until you can just get it to the highest level open rate as possible.
Okay, so when they come off the 20, like you go sequence of 1 to 25, what happens to the 20?
Well, the thing is, it's multiple sequences.
Okay,
right? Like they opt in.
Right.
Right, they go on the first sequence, which only tries to sell them one thing. And every single email is just trying to sell them the same thing. See, the biggest mistake you can make is you're trying to put multiple products onto a email sequence. Like the typical email marketer, they'll put the first product and the next email is open. Oh, here's a second product and third product. The thing is, product after product, one thing, customers don't like that because they're thinking all you do is just pitching them.
Okay.
Right? So what we do is when someone signs up, the first thing I try to do is try to say, my blogging funnel, I would try to get them to start a blog. So I would tell them that, you need to start a blog, and I can set it up for you for free, and all you can do is order web hosting for my provider, and that's how I make money. And my hostgator gives me commission for referring a new customer. So first email, basically I offer them the free ebook on blogging, a free blogging ebook. They sign up, they get the ebook, they read it. The next day email say, I guess you enjoyed the book. Hope you enjoyed. I assume you read it. And what I want to do is I want to help you set up a blog. I'm going to assume you don't have a blog. And I'm going to help you set up a blog, and I have a deal where I can actually, I find that most people don't set up a blog because there's a technology barrier. They don't know how to set up a MySQL database, that kind of stuff. And PHP is like another language to them. So I said, if I can remove the technology barrier, you would be more open to starting a blog. Because, and I would express how easy blogging is, because if you know how to use MS Word, you can blog. Same thing, you just type the blog. But the software is complicated and stuff. So I said, I'll remove that. And I said, go order your hosting plan from Hostgator. Your Hostgator will send you a welcome email with your login information. Forward that to me. I'll set up a blog for you. Set up a temporary password. Send you that information. You can log in. You can start blogging. So it makes it very, very easy. And I give them a coupon code for me. So they get 25% off if they order through me. So the customer or the reader is looking at this going, he's getting great value. He's getting 25% off on a hosting package. He's getting free WordPress installation, and Hostgator is happy because they have a new customer, and I'm happy because I made a commission. And so it's a win-win-win. Now, if they don't buy it on the first email, second email, basically I just keep hammering that same point over and over, but just different way of doing it. So second email showed the advantages of blogging. So I'm trying to teach, and I'm saying, why will you want to blog? Right? So, and then I just keep like, well, no, reason why I want to blog, and then the blog go. If you're ready to start one, my free web hosting account is available to you. And they don't buy it then. Third email talks about, what should I blog about? And you can figure out, it's all on the same theme. What should I blog about? How would I get traffic to a blog? And same thing, and always same thing. If you're ready to start a blog, 25% off, this, and just keep hammering that over and over again. And basically, so once they finally buy it, let's say they finally, okay, take advantage of my offer, they finally buy it. And then what I did is I would move them to the second, a customer's list. And now the next list is, because if I don't move them, the third email is going to basically say, hey, we just have a blog now? They go, but I just set one up already, so why you keep hammering me about setting up a blog? Right? So I moved them to a separate list, and then the next list, now they got a blog, we'll try to sell them something else. In this case, I would say, what blogging tools you require? Like, now that you have a blog set up, you want to make it look distinctive, look different. Well, here's some WordPress themes you can choose. Some are free, I link to free sources, and some are premium theme. And it says, my blog is powered by Thesis. And Thesis costs $297. And I would promote that. I said, if you want Thesis, same information, or the same theme I use, go buy it from Thesis, and you want it, I would sell it for free. So that's the little hook again, right? So, and if they buy it, then I get 30% commission from Thesis. And they buy. So the object is, if they buy it, then you push them to different funnel, then of course you put the AWeber, because after your blog, you need an email list, and your blogs, and all these other stuff.
There's two ways to do that. And actually, this is the first tip. So one way is for you to monitor manually what people are doing, whether they bought or not. And then you can move them like John said. But Aweber offers automation rules. So you can have Aweber move people around, subscribe them or unsubscribe them from certain lists based on their actions. So say that they're going through the funnel that John mentioned, and they're going through and they get email 1, 2, 3, email number 4. Then on email number 5, you tell them, hey, if you want to take advantage of this offer, click here. And in clicking here, they put their name again. Hopefully you have already their email pre-populated. And the moment they sign up to that, Aweber will remove him from that funnel and put him into the new funnel to promote that one product. So they no longer get that. One way you can do that is basically, like I just said, click here to get more information about that. And the other way is when they actually go to buy it, the thank you page invites them to look at this other product. Yes, I'm interested on that. And that moves them automatically to that other segment or another list. And then they can go through a whole setup of that. Also, when they join your, let's say that you're offering the free ebook that I mentioned earlier, just any given product, you immediately start sending them emails, say day 0, then day 1, day 2, day 3. You can have, the moment they sign up, you can have them sign up to 2 lists. And what happens is, the first list starts sending emails on day 0, immediately. But then you program the second list to wait, let's say that you have 7 emails on the first funnel. So you're going to tell the second list, your first email will be sent out on day number 8. After they sign up. That way they're going to get email number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then the second list kicks up on day number 8. So now you have 2 funnels going on that may be related, but also they're independent, and you can treat them separately. And based on their actions, then you would either remove them or freeze them from one and let them get the other one. So those are automation rules in Aweber, and they're part of the settings for every account, and those are there. So and like John said, you don't need to create fields. The Aweber does a lot of segmentation for you. But if you want to get really fancy with it, you can put, for example, if you have a form on your website that shows up on every single page, you can have it tell you which page they sign up from. And that gives you a little bit of insight into their interest. So if they sign up when they were reading a post about making money, then maybe that's what they're interested about. But if they sign up on a review post, then you can maybe decide what type of emails you send them based on that. Does that make sense? Any questions about segmenting or automation?
Yeah, the more fields you put into an opt-in form, the lower your opt-in.
Right. Oh yeah, and by the way, the fields that I'm talking about for you to segment, they don't have to be visible. There's visible fields that people have to fill out, and then there's also what's called hidden fields that are automatically part of the forms, but they never get to see it. And those fields can be, you basically program them, and they automatically get filled in. And that's a little bit advanced for today's discussion, but basically, when you create your form, you can set those fields up to be automatically populated, or you can say, hey, this form, it's only going to be shown on this page, and I wanted to show the name of the page or the referral where they came from. So if people come in from Facebook, for example, you can capture that and say, this person came from Facebook before they signed up, so I know they're on Facebook a lot, or I know they have a Facebook account. And that gives you insights into how to market to them. So that's tip number 1, is automation, and allows you to segment. So any questions about that? Go ahead. I know you have them.
Well, I think when I start an email, at least in my email sequence, the one question I have, and this might be more technical, is there's that section for just basic text.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I modify my existing email, why doesn't it automatically automate or make changes to my basic text? Because obviously I have to copy, cut, and paste every time.
Correct. So
I know it's
no, it's good. It's a good question. Okay? So right. Aweber has 3 editors. They have the legacy editor, which used to be they changed it about a year ago to a new editor that's kind of drag and drop, and they have modules. So they have the legacy, the new drag and drop visual editor, and then the plain HTML. And all three of those also give you the text version. Now, the reason you have a text version is because not everybody looks at emails on HTML version. What that means is not everybody gets to see images and banners and colors. Some people just want to see a plain text message. And the reason it doesn't automatically change it is because once you create your first email, the text version is created automatically. But after that, Aweber assumes that you're taking the time to customize the text version differently than the HTML. So if you went and made changes to the text version, you don't want to get those changes overwritten by a change you made on the HTML version.
I see.
Most marketers, they like HTML email.
Right.
But they realize you have to send a text version as well for every email. You got to send a text version, HTML version. The thing is, the text version is ugly, plain text.
Right.
And whereas HTML email looks really nice, it looks like a web page. But some marketers like to control the look and feel of their email. So what they do is they have the HTML version that they sent to people, and if people receive the text, they get a totally different email that says that the text email says, click here to see the message. And they click here, takes them to a web page to show them HTML email. So therefore, in this case, the HTML email and the text email is a totally different email.
That makes sense.
And so that's the reason.
I didn't know if it was by design.
I actually had that question for them, and their answer was pretty similar to that. You get to pick. Basically, each one has a different type of audience and psychology for the person that's opening it.
Okay, and I have one other question, I promise. So you guys talk about how when you look at an email, sometimes or the subject line, if you should use lowercase.
Yep.
Why is that?
So there's a couple of reasons for the email subject lines. Basically, what I said earlier about people's short attention span. If you think about when somebody sends you an email, a friend or a family member, do they put a lot of thought into the subject line? No.
If they're an English major, they do. Sorry.
Those are very unique.
Yes.
So those are the fringes. Those are the edges.
Right.
Most people start with an email like, hey, dot, 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 or a comma. Or sometimes people even start their message in the subject line, and when they run out of space, they go into the body. So what email marketers have found out is that if you mimic that, you get higher open rates. When you put an email subject line like the title of an article, if you capitalize the first letter of every word, and you make it a title, people are like, oh, I know this is a marketing message, I don't want to open it. But if you just type in, hey, what's up, or hey, did you see this? Or, hey. People are like, well, hey, what? I want to see it. And they at least click on it.
Yeah. One of my highest open one, my husband just said, hey. And I put in their name, automatically insert their name. Like, so say, hey, Oscar. Comment, it's Sean.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it was saying.
If you think about email marketing and internet marketing, your goal with anything that you ever do is to get people to click on that one thing. So if you're sending an email, it's not for you to sell a product, it's for them to open the email first. Then once they open the email, then the goal of the email is for them to click on the link. So if you think about your marketing on a very granular step-by-step proposition, your single goal is for them to click on the message to read it. Then from the message, your goal is for them to click on the link. So don't try to sell them anything on the subject line. Get them to open the message. People say, well, then if you just say, hey, or what's up, or whatever, you're deceiving. And that's not the case. You're just getting them to open the message. They will decide if they want to read it, if they want to click on it, but you got them to open the message. And that's your number one goal when you send them a message. You can't think of the five steps ahead of you and get them to do that. You know, get one step at a time. And as you go through, just think about the purpose of the next action for them. So an email is for them to open the email first. Then obviously, if you catch them with the subject line, then the next most important thing is your first sentence, because they're going to scan that. And if you guys have noticed, most email systems give you like the first 100 characters of the message, whether it's Gmail, Outlook, Firebird, they tell you the first line. So they're going to look at the subject line. If you catch them with that, they'll look at the first sentence and then open it. If they don't show the first line of the email, then your only chance is that subject. AWeber allows you to split test subject lines, not email messages, but subject lines. So you could send one message to 10% of your list with one subject line, then send another 10% of your list with a different subject line and see how those two work. Whichever one gets the best, then send it to the rest of the 80% of your list. Right? So if you have, let's say, 1,000 people, you'll send one message to 100, another message to another 100. The best results, you'll send it to the rest 800 people. That's an easy way to split test up. It requires more work, but once you nail that down, then you know what your audience is responsive to. So, any questions so far?
Are we still on the first tip?
I guess. We had some questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Move along to the second tip.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have an audience locally where I do a hands-on service and like internationally from Facebook or YouTube. So I should segment those lists.
Yep.
And I didn't create the unshown fields when I created the form.
Okay.
But they still capture the geo.
They capture a lot of stuff, yeah.
Okay. So
when you go into your list management, you can segment it and they will give you a lot of stuff like date and time when they sign up, location, the type of email address. You can say, show me anybody with Gmail, Yahoo. If they have like an email that's based on a certain country, for example, like a domain, then you can sort by that. Things like that. So, yeah, let's move along to tip number two. Like John said, he has 24 emails plus more, you know, sitting around. Sometimes you want to change part of the email message, but you don't necessarily want to go and edit 24 messages. So AWeber offers you what's called, I believe, rich snippets, which is a variable type of little program where you can put in a message that automatically gets updated in all your email sequences. So let's say that you're promoting a webinar this coming Friday, and you have people signing up for the past 2 weeks into your email list, so you want to promote that webinar. In your message, you can put a little code that AWeber gives you, and you can call it like snippet number one. And then you go on to the snippet management area and say, hey, I'm having a webinar this weekend. Click here to join. And so you just go and update that little snippet, and all the messages will have that message updated.
Kind of like a signature.
Yeah, it's like a signature. So if the webinar comes and goes, Friday comes, and now you're on Monday, and the webinar's over, you can say, you can go change that snippet and say, hey, don't forget to go like my Facebook page. Now all the messages will have that, as opposed to having to go and edit every message and update that. And you can have as many of those as you want in a message. You can daisy chain them. So you can have an entire little paragraph about whatever you're up to at that time. And that's really, really good for saving you time and marketing something that's very current. And you still want to make it relevant to the audience, but it's a really, really neat way of making that work for you. So, and that's also part of AWeber standard stuff. So, any questions about that? No? All right. Last tip. AWeber is, as I mentioned earlier, kind of the industry standard. So they've really, really developed their systems to allow programmers to build on top of it. So AWeber has a really, really powerful form generator that allows you to create forms, collect information and stuff. But they also open up their programming interface to all kinds of programs and stuff, applications. So if you have a WordPress website, for example, you can leverage other applications to tie into WordPress. I mentioned earlier when we were just starting out that I use Optin Monster and Lead Pages. I hardly ever use the AWeber signup form. But Lead Pages and Optin Monster tie into AWeber and give me additional functionality and still let me capture the email address into my list. And that helps me a lot because I can give people a contextual reason to sign up. So if you go to my website, nanagrouch.com, and you click around a couple of times, then if you try to leave, the moment your mouse moves away from the browser window, you'll see a pop-up come up inviting people to sign up before they leave. So that increases your subscription rate. And when people sign up to your list, of course, they're more likely to come back to your website whenever you send them something. So I guess the last tip would be to take advantage of the AWeber connections to all these other applications. And there's applications out there that do surveys, they do statistics collections, all kinds of stuff, and allow you to really present a very easy way for people to sign up without them feeling like they're giving up a lot of private information or their name and email, which sometimes they're hesitant to do because they have, you haven't proven the value. But when you present it to them in a very context situation for them, they're more likely to just sign up. So I would encourage you to explore that. Some of the apps that I use for that are Gravity Forms, Lead Pages, and Optin Monster. Those are my three main ones that I work with to use AWeber. So, yeah. Those are the three tips. And I don't know if you guys have any questions. You can keep talking.
I think is it good to use confirmations, ask people to confirm their emails? Because in AWeber, we can just disable that. So after they sign, their emails just not be in your list. You think is it good to disable it?
Well, there's two options. I'll answer really quick, but then I'll let John expand because he's kind of the master at this. But generally, you want people to double opt in. That does two things. It clears, it covers your butt for legal reasons. There's absolutely no way that they can say that this is spam because they sign up and then they confirm that they want this. So you're clear with the canned spam laws, which you really should follow. Fines are very expensive, so you don't want to mess with that. But sometimes single opt-in also helps because people want, for example, a book or something, and the fact that they downloaded a book also a little bit serves as a confirmation. Okay, you signed up and you got the book, so I'm going to send you this stuff. But with double opt-in, you know that the person is really interested. You kind of qualify them one more step. If they're not willing to confirm their email, then maybe they shouldn't be on your list anyway. Maybe they're just trying to get something free, and they try to, but they're not going to confirm. So people say, well, if you have single opt-in, you're going to get more people to subscribe. And that's true, but you don't know that those people are really qualified to be getting your stuff anyway. So maybe it's better to do double opt-in, get less subscribers, but they're more qualified. So I don't know if you want to add to that.
Yeah. Good explanation. It's you got to experiment. The double opt-in is not required. It's actually not required by law, really. But basically, launch, the rule says that they have to actually enter the field and they have to, and you must provide a way for them to unsubscribe. As long as you do those two things, you pretty much cover your butt. The problem is with a single opt-in is that, yeah, you will get more spam complaints because some people don't enter legitimate emails. Some people enter just fake emails. So you will get more bounces, your spam complaint will be higher, and while your list is bigger, there's a lot of those names, or a good number of those names will be bad.
Yeah.
So you're paying for bad name, because all the email provider charge you based on the number of names you have, the number of email addresses you have. So you know, it's nice to have to say you have a list of 10,000, but if a couple of thousand of those are non-deliverables, then it ain't that great. The way to reduce that, like on my blog, it usually is double opt-in, and I usually always do double opt-in, simply because I go for quality over quantity. And also, if your offer is good and it's good, people will double opt-in. And like I offer a free ebook, they see that at value, so they want it, they have to click the confirm button before they get it. If they don't do that, they don't get it. Now, even still, you have that, sometimes the confirmation email doesn't show up in the guy's inbox because it got captured by some kind of spam filter or whatever, so they go, they're ready to confirm, but they go, I can't see your confirmation email, so they didn't even get it. And then at that point, they won't take the hassle to send you an email saying, I asked for your book, but you never sent it. So what you could do is, if you want to do a single opt-in and you want to reduce the number of spam complaints, the number of bad email addresses, And if you are giving away a free item, you make it very, very explicit on the call to action that says this item or this ebook will be emailed to you. So a lot of people send, you know, like you see those opt-in emails that say, watch the video, enter your email address, they click it, then of course they expect to go to the next page to show them the video. Right? So if I'll just enter anything I want and then click it and go see the video. Right? So the example when I do here, and I guess where do I have my yeah, I have this blog post. Go away. So I have a blog post here. And I actually, this is done with lead pages. So it's, this oil change one. This particular post, where I actually offer them my ebook in the blog post itself. And this is it. Control. Yeah, I talk about how I paid $210 on oil change in my car. And basically I got into the oil was only like $54, so that means like they charge $170 for labor, and it's only like took half an hour to do, so I figured it was like $250 an hour for labor charge, and I figured, I'm pretty sure Fletcher Jones don't pay the technician $250 an hour, so I'm wondering how the tech feel that they're being gouged, you know, for their time. They probably get paid like, I don't know, whatever they get paid for changing oil there, but Fletcher's charging those guys about $200 an hour, right? So that's the only way to do this is to control your time. And I said, you want to control your time? I got this ebook. You can download, and so they click on here, and instead of taking them to a squeeze page, the opt-in pops right up, and I got the call reinforcing it. But you notice what I say in the field? I put down a field your name, and in this field I put down I said enter email to send the book to. That field. So that lets them specifically know that their book is going to be sent to an email address. So if if you enter a fake email address, you're not going to get it because it's going to be sent to that email address. So using this, I could do a single opt-in. And the odds of getting a bad email address is quite low because, you know, as explicitly said, we're going to mail it to you. Like once you click download, you're not gonna get to a page that says download. You can get a page that says check your email.
Yeah. So, any other questions? Did you guys feel like you learned something? What do you think?
Yeah. Great, yeah.
All right. Cool. So, I think we'll stop the recording in a second. Thanks everybody for coming. We can hang out a little bit more. Lunch will be.
That should be at 12.
At 12. And for those of you guys listening, if you want to join us, just go to meetup.com, look for the .com lifestyle meetup, and join us next time. We are in Irvine, and we meet up all over Southern California. And we will probably start doing some virtual hangouts as well and some workshops. So be sure to stay tuned. Just go to meetup.com, join us. John Chow. Go to johnchow.com, and then my website is notagrash.com. We are your hosts and the founders of the .com lifestyle. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Fancy music stops playing now.
Yeah.
Music stops playing.